So you'll notice in our scripture this morning, two distinctly different things. Over the past 2 weeks, this is the third in our series, we did all of the Old Testament in 15 minutes. And then all of the New Testament in 15 minutes. And I thought about thinking about doing, well, let's listen to all of the scripture in a half hour, but we're not going to go there. Instead, we have two different pieces of scripture. The first is out of Exodus. And it's the story of Moses and his first contact with God, with the burning bush. And so it's about Moses kind of figuring out his faith, figuring out who God is for the first time. And the second piece of scripture comes from the end of the Gospel of John. And what it addresses is how you respond to that realization that God is present in the first place. So as you listen to both of those scriptures, I invite you to see if you can find the ways and start to build the bridges between the realization that God is here and the call to follow God.
Exodus 3, verses 1 through 14. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" The word of God for the people of God.
From the Gospel of John, chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not want to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. If you could please join me in prayer. Listen in the silence. Listen in the noise. Listen for the sound of the Spirit's voice. It's one of my favorite little pieces of music. We're going to be singing it before we pray this morning. And I wanted to use that as a piece of prayer, because I find that when we include the Holy Spirit in things, that sometimes things can get a little crazy. Sometimes things can go a little bit awry. And I want to share with you a story this morning in which things went a little bit awry for me. I know this is going to be shocking, but there was a time when even I did not know what the internet was. I'm not as young as some people think that I am. And so there was a time when, you know, there was things on the internet that was, it was new to everybody. It didn't matter who you were. And so this morning I'm going to share a quick little story, about a time that I got fooled by the internet and really got fooled by my friend. But I'm curious, how many people have ever been shocked by something that they weren't expecting because their focus was just so entirely on something else? Okay, I think you might be able to figure out where my story's going to go in just a little bit. So there was a time where I was completely caught off guard. It was in high school. Early in high school, and the internet video for on the internet was just becoming a thing. Things were just getting fast enough with speeds where we could do that. And there was this piece of video that was going around, or I'm not sure exactly what it was, because like I said, there was a time when even the internet was young to me. And what was going around with it was, if you look really, really hard, and you turn up the volume on your computer all the way, that you're going to start to hear your name being said by the computer. Now, I'll admit, I was a little bit gullible. I wasn't thinking with the best of who I was. And was I really going to hear my name? Probably not. But I was like, okay, I'll try it anyways. And so we're sitting in the school library, and I was sitting about that close to the screen, because I wanted to make sure that I was focusing, you know. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I followed the instructions that I was given to the letter. And it was really, really boring, because it was just a picture of a living room. And I watched with great intensity to see if anything would happen, and nothing, and I kept staring, and nothing, and I kept staring, and nothing. And then right before I was about to give up, the picture shifted really, really quick, and the screaming face showed up, and I jumped back, fell out of my seat, may or may not have said a couple of words that I shouldn't have said in school, and the librarian kicked me out of the library, along with her son, who was the person who perpetrated the crime. And I was so startled that I couldn't help but jump back and do something different. But I was so focused on following those directions to see if, well, maybe this would work. The internet's a pretty magical thing. To see if this would happen. And I was so focused on that that I didn't see anything in my surroundings. Now, I'm not going to show you the picture of the screaming space alien or anything like that. But I quit paying attention to what was on my periphery. And if I had noticed, what I would have noticed is that my friend was looking at me with the same kind of intensity that I was looking at the computer screen. And I think that in our scripture this morning in Exodus, that a similar kind of thing is happening with Moses. And just as I was not looking at my friend's face, I don't think that Moses was looking to run into God. So let's remember what's happened in Moses' life thus far. He was living in a bit of a self-imposed exile from the only life that he had known. He had killed an Egyptian who was beating one of his fellow Hebrew people, and the Pharaoh wanted him dead. Now, eventually that Pharaoh died, But if the most powerful person in the world at one point wanted you in particular to be killed, are you ever going to fully let your guard down? Who knows what that Pharaoh might have set up for you? So I think that Moses, to this point in his life, was no doubt living in a space where a lot, if not a great deal of his attention was being focused on what was coming out of Egypt. There's probably very little time in his life where Moses was truly letting himself relax. And I doubt that Moses, a person who for the most part was culturally Egyptian, I doubt that he spent much time thinking about the God of his deceased ancestor, Jacob. And I think it's much more likely that Moses was trying to focus on his work, trying to keep a low profile, and listen for anything that might have been coming out of Egypt that could signal for him to have to leave, to flee for his life again. And I think if this was something that happened today, Moses would be doing a little bit more than just looking at the horizon and paying attention to his sheep. He would probably be staring at a screen like so many of us like to stare at screens all of the time. And besides taking, you know, cute pictures of sheep and putting them on social media, he would probably be looking down at his phone every chance that it vibrated. Did the Pharaoh tweet something that might be threatening to me? What are the trending topics among the Hebrew people that are still in Egypt? And although I think Moses would be doing something like this, this isn't what God had in mind. God didn't have in mind that Moses should be spending his life in this kind of state of close to paranoia. God didn't care, or wouldn't have cared, if the Pharaoh was posting something on some hypothetical internet. God wants Moses, and wants to get Moses' attention, and God wants it so bad. God wants Moses to listen to the future for all that Moses has in store, that he literally changes the way the physical universe is set up. An angel of the Lord appears in front of Moses in the form of a burning bush, and the bush is not consumed by fire. Fire burns stuff. This isn't going to go forever. And it wasn't being consumed. And being a creature, like most people are, of curiosity, Moses went to go look at it, to figure it out. And what happened was the Spirit finally is able to reach out to Moses, and this Moses guy listens. For the first time in his life that we know, he connects with God. Now Moses is a full-grown man at this point with a wife and kids, and he connects with God for the first time. One of the greatest heroes of faith that the world has ever known didn't start to have a relationship with God until well into adulthood. God tells Moses what God feels about the slavery of the Hebrews in Egypt, and God lays out a plan for Moses about what he will do with his life to change the future for his people. That Moses is no longer going to be sitting on his butt in the middle of a field in relative isolation. Moses is now God's guy. And he's going to head back to the place that he once called home, that he knows is a danger to him, to act as God's representative to the greatest political power the world has ever known, to advocate for the slaves. You know, nothing really big there. Now, I know in my own life that God has never changed the laws of nature to grab my attention. But I do know from my own experience and from listening to the experiences of so many people that God often does some pretty amazing things to get our attention and to change our lives when we are ready. But the point is, we first have to be ready to hear God. So after we're ready to listen, I've found that we often begin to see all of the different ways in which God has been working in our lives all the way along that we didn't realize. We might not see where God has been working in our lives in the present, but once we start to listen to God, we see just what all God has done for us. And I'm sure that in this moment of meeting God, that Moses wound up looking back on his life and began to see all the ways that God had been working in his life. God allowed him to live through a time where all of the other Hebrew boys were killed. He was adopted by the daughter of the most powerful person on the planet. And when he killed a man for beating a slave, he was able to escape Egypt and go into exile safely. And while he was there, he was able to start a family and live a life. And I don't think that any of this is a coincidence, that God was at work at every step along the way. And I think that, like us, Moses no doubt started to see the work that God had always been doing in his life because God loved him. And my friends, Moses is just one example of many in our scriptures of someone coming closer and moving into a closer relationship with God and serving and caring for God's people. We get the joy in our scriptures of seeing all sorts of people, story after story after story, of people coming to a closer relationship with God, just like Moses did. We get to learn in our scripture from the wisdom of God that is made known to us through books like Psalms. We get to hear about the social injustices that have happened in the past through the prophets. And I think most importantly in our scriptures, we get to learn about the coming of God's own Son who came to earth that we might be put back into a right relationship with God in a way that is only possible because of who Jesus is. Now, every single piece of scripture, at least in my opinion, is a springboard towards a closer and a closer relationship with God. Listening to the Bible, letting the Bible shape us as people, is an opportunity like none other. From our scripture in John this morning, it shows us this uniqueness that we have in our opportunity with God. Repeatedly, the risen Christ asks Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" To which Simon Peter responds, "You know that I love you." Jesus responds each time, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." In response to God reaching out to people, reaching out to us, we are asked, "Do you love me?" We have the joy also of being able to respond, "Lord, I love you." And we get to share with God that we love God as a response to God letting us know that God loves us. And it's in this that Christ calls us, that Christ makes a demand on us, "Feed my lambs, follow me." So my friends, hear the good news. We are told by our Creator, the Creator of all the cosmos, that we are loved. Scripture tells us this repeatedly if we are ready to just listen. And when we listen, when we are able to respond, God calls out to us. God says, "Follow me," and leads us to places that we never thought possible. God leads us through love to be fully present in the now and share God's love with our fellow human beings. And this book, the Bible, is the primary vessel by which we are invited into that relationship with God, that God wants to have a relationship with us, and in that relationship, we are able to reach out into the world. So it's really our joy to be able to listen to this book and respond. That we have this opportunity in the first place is the most amazing thing that I can think of. And I'm so glad that each of us here gets to walk this path with each other. We, simple little creatures, get to love God, get to be loved by God, and get to pass that love of God to others. May we always listen to the ways that the Holy Spirit is calling us so that we may always be growing closer to God and to each other. Amen.